Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Well, here we are, second part of talking about the lost and the found. Last week, Pastor Dreyer went with the parables, the true parables, the lost sheep and the lost coin. And then the joy in the finding. There's an incredible joy in finding when something has been lost. Now, you ever lose a wallet? Yeah. Well, I've got a brand new wallet my wife gave me for my birthday. And it had some extra pockets. She figured I probably needed a few more credit cards and things like that. She thought I was coming into a lot of money, so I'd need, you know, a lot of space like that. So I had the wallet in my pocket, and last week I went to get my flu shot. So what do they ask you when you show up there? I said, ID and your card, your medical card. So I had my brand new wallet, proudly opened it up, and I'm looking, you know, man, now where did I stick that? I can't find it. I can't find where my Humana card is. So are they going to refuse me? Well, they had it all there already, you know, and she comes up, it looks on the screen, yep, there it is. So I didn't need it right then, but, you know, there's something going on inside of me that, oh, man, What if I have an accident and they won't let me into the emergency room because I don't have my card? You know, I'm going to die there, you know, outside of the hospital door. That's pretty bad. I was kind of, that anxiety. And then the next anxiety that came along is, well, how am I going to find it? Now, what doctor have I been at last that I might have taken it out and just left it there? Why didn't they call me? And so forth. And so I finally, you know, when all else fails, you confess to your wife. It's honey, I can't find my cards. So I said, no, don't go around looking all over. When something is lost, she doesn't give up until it's found. She said, did you look in your wallet? I said, yes, of course I looked in my wallet. You know, what are you thinking? So she found my, where I had my wallet. She opened it up and she looked and said, and then I'm like, oh, there was one more spot here. And one more compartment that I hadn't looked in. There it was. I'll tell you what, that sense of relief that just flooded over me was absolutely immense. You know, it was like I was just being flooded with all these endorphins. I was in a good mood for the rest of the day. She said, whatever happened to you? It's, well, the lost has been found. Now, you think of the angels in heaven. You know, when a sinner repents, when what is precious to God is brought back to him and is in his possession. Lost and found, okay, a lost sheep, a lost coin, and today a lost son who is restored again. Compelling story of what God is all about. Pastor Dreyer last week said that God is a seeking God. You know, he doesn't quit. He keeps on. He's like that hound of heaven. He wants to find us and draw us back into his relationship with him, that cosmic search. And so when I think about that, I wonder a couple things. One thing I wondered is, why do people get into that kind of a mess anyway, to begin with? And the answer is pretty simple, because one of the most basic teachings in the Bible, one of the most important teachings of Christian doctrine is what we call original sin. And that is, we all dropped out of our mom's womb already sinners. I'm not a sinner because I've sinned. I sin because I am a sinner from birth. You know, that's part of the makeup. Already separated and alienated from God, needing to have the seeking God find me. So we get into that kind of a mess. By the way, another thing that happens is that God does like this father did in the story. He says, okay, that's what you want. You can have what you want and see how that's going to work out for you. And then kind of, because he already knows, it's going to get into some trouble. And we come back and we know that we have to depend completely on him because we tried it on our own and that just didn't work out very well. But the second thing that I thought about is, how bad does it have to get before someone turns their focus around and looking back toward home again and desiring to be with the Father? You know, what does it take for a person who we call it bottoming out? And it's when the pain of continuing to do what you're doing is greater than the pain of facing up to it, admitting to other people even at times that, hey, man, I've blown it. I'm in a world of hurt. I don't like to do that. That is so humiliating. But what does it take for that to happen? And that is the thing that this young man had to experience. But then there is one more thing he experienced, and that is a surprise. The joy that he experienced when he was fully accepted and embraced by his Father. That's the shock of grace, as Janin was demonstrating, you know, grace, and it just burns up the sin so that it's obliterated, it's gone. So today we're going to look at the story of this guy who he knew what he wanted in life, and he had figured out a way that he could get it. He wanted out, and he wanted it now. He was sick of home, and he wanted to get out on his own. Now, I get it. It probably wasn't real easy living with that brother that is described, who is this older brother that, you know, the overachiever, the one who always does it right, never does anything wrong, but always points out when the little brother does something wrong, and is a kind of a bully toward him and shaming him all the time and tattling to his father. Well, if he's going to get out of that house, he's going to have a plan. And so he begins to think, you know, Dad's pretty well off, isn't he? This farm is paid for and it's making a profit, and we've got a good staff. Everything is going really very well. And the property, that must be worth a whole lot. You know, when Dad dies, I'm in for a pretty big bunch of money here. And maybe even thought, you know, I wish he were dead right now, and then I'd get my share of the inheritance, and then I'd just blow this pop stand. He had a yearning, but like with a lot of yearnings, he didn't really understand what that emptiness was about. It was an emptiness of the soul. Like a lot of people, it was fixated on himself. He seriously then broke a commandment that he should honor his father. Because when he approaches his dad, he says, Dad, give me the share of the inheritance that belongs to me. I'm sure the first time he mentioned that, Dad said, get out of here. Come on. I can't do that. You know I can't. And he kept on persisting until finally Dad says, okay, whatever it is you want, you can have it. And we'll see how that works out for you. So the father took and divided it all up. The guy took his money, and now he is out of there in a hurry. So it's not many days, and he was gone. And he went, says, to a far country. Now, this is not geographically far necessarily, but the far country was relationally far because he had broken off the relationship with his family, and it was spiritually a long distance away from where he needed to be. So he's got everything he wanted in life. Everything's going really well. He uses his money to buy acceptance and friends. And, you know, what he wanted was a lot of friends, a lot of fun, a lot of money. He's got it all, and everything's working really fine. And it seems like the money he's got is, you know, infinite. But pretty soon, it begins to evaporate. It's gone. And at the point where it's gone, another thing happens. You know how trouble, one problem will attract another? Before you got the one problem solved, another one comes along that makes the first one worse and then adds on a couple more as you go along. Well, that is what's happening because the economy in that far country now tanked. And so There was a drought. There was a famine. He couldn't eat. He couldn't get a job, except there was one job available to him. Now, this had to have been like the bottom, the very, very bottom. And this is where he's going to begin to hit bottom. He has to feed pigs. Now, as a good Jewish boy, you don't even want to smell a pig, let alone touch one or get close to one. Now, here he is. And when he realizes there's not much difference between himself and the pigs, when he finds himself hungering for the pig food, this is his come to Jesus moment. It was wake-up call. But let's see about the need that he has. Luke 15 tells us this. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, if you got your own Bible, just highlight that or underline. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. This is his wake-up call. He has hit the bottom. He is now, that's his wake-up call. We call it his come-to-Jesus moment. This boy who had been sick of home is now strangely homesick. Homesick. I want to go home. I want to go home. There's a kind of, when you come to that point, there's a kind of, you feel pretty depressed. You feel, I've messed up. I am a loser. I'm a reject. I'm a failure. These are the kinds of feelings that people get when they come to that point. And it's difficult sometimes because, in real life, there's that we don't like to experience a sense of shame. And maybe it isn't right away that we come to the point, we may say, I will arise and go to my father, but we stay right where we are. And then we get a little bit deeper, and it gets a little bit worse. But he's got his moment of truth now, and he sees that there is no other alternative for him than to go home when he sees not much difference between him and the pig. And I said, to underline, when he came to himself, now he's finally coming to himself. You see, God had an idea of what he wants us to be. He has this picture of us. You know, says, that's my kid. I love my kid. My heart hurts for the distance that is between. There's a barrier. I want that barrier broken down. I want my kid back with me. And so he searches and he finds. But now he's going to be thinking about, I need a plan. Well, okay, dad's pretty well off. Yeah, I'm going to return home. I'll bring an apology. And I'll say, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Could I just have a job? Would you just give me a break? But he knows he would have to prove himself over a really long period of time, even to get the chance to walk across the doorstep into the house of his father. It'd be a long time. You know, there are those things, those factors, those events in our lives when everything is laid bare and where we have that realization within ourselves, we have to face facts. We have to face facts. There are times when we've got to be honest about ourselves and with ourselves, and we can't sugarcoat it anymore because, you know, you lick the sugar coating off and it's really bitter underneath that. You try to sweep it under the rug and then you trip over it every time that you go by there. So we have to figure out, what is it that we've got to do? What are the choices? What are the alternatives available? And and then that nagging question, how did that work out for you? And we realize, But it takes more than thought. He thought in his mind. He said to himself, I will go back to my father. But that's not enough. Let's go to Luke 15, verse 20, where it says, and he arose. No longer just in the thought of, up here in the cerebral, but it is now in action. He arose and came to his father. You know, years of bad choices can catch up with a person. You know what bad choices are? That's just a way of trying to get around having to use the word S-I-N, sin. Bad choices, yeah. But really what it is sin. And when you have abused your health, when you have abused other people, when you and your relationships and your finances and all that are starting to come apart, if we're honest, we have to face facts. There have been some misuses, which actually are not just bad choices. There's that sin nature, which is so focused in on self. You know, the problem with sin is it takes you where you don't want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay, and it costs you more than what you want to pay. So here we are, you know, the broken pieces of lives, and there they are. I can't put them back together again. There's only one thing to do. Go home to Father. This is what we call repentance. And when he repents, and when he goes home to the Father sees him even at a distance. At first, that's familiar. I think it's my son. A lot skinnier than I remember him. He left here, you know, dressed up. I mean, like he had, you know, all the latest labels. I mean, he was so cool. But look at there. That must be a homeless guy all in tatters. When they got closer, it could even smell him. Smells like pigs. But he knew, he recognized right away that it was his son, even though he had all these problems. And the Father's arms are open. He is waiting, because this boy is going to be in for a surprise. The surprise of grace. The surprise of grace. Total surprise. And he gets grace from the one that he has hurt the most. And instead of just getting a little bit of a break, he gets to have complete acceptance and being brought back into the family with greater joy than they had even before all of this. And that's, you know, you'd think that maybe he should have kept him, you know, outside for a couple of years. No, right away, he brings him in, gets the full life. Now, the brother does not feel so good about that. Dad, that's not fair. You know, and this, your son, he doesn't say my brother, your son of yours, you know, wastes all that money, and then you let him back in. Come on. Jesus says that the man called one of the servants and said, hey, here's what I want you to do. Number one, get the best robe that we've got. Why? Well, because he's all smelly and tattered, dirty. Put on my robe. Like as if he had never done anything bad, like he had never been away. Just put that on him. Okay? Next thing is put shoes on the feet, because this kid's not going to be one of my barefoot servants or slaves. This is going to be my son. The son, you know, all God's children got shoes, right? So he's going to have shoes to wear. And his hand, yeah. Put this ring on his finger. Put the ring on his hand. What's that about? Well, it was kind of like a credit card. It was the signet ring. You'd impress that into the wax, which meant that somebody would be paying for whatever it is, make good on that. Whosever ring that was would make good on that. So, I mean, trust the kid with a credit card after he's done all that financial abuse? Are you kidding me? You see, this is a shock. This is a surprise. It's even a scandal of grace. Scandal of grace. Because you see, in the society there, for the dad to have done what he did in dividing up that inheritance and giving it to his son, that was a scandal. You don't do that. But a worse scandal was letting him back in. Wow. Incredible. Well, and then one more thing. Let's have a party. Take that calf we've got there in the feedlot that we've been saving, you know, it's just fattening up, just about ready for the slaughter. Hey, perfect timing. Let's have that, and we're going to have a big celebration, and we're going to have music, and we're going to have a party. We're going to have everybody in. Well, perfect. But, you know, there are times as we've kind of put this into our own life. There are times in our lives where we're kind of like that son, and we try to bargain with God. We say, God, if you forgive me, I promise I'll never do anything bad like that again. Yeah, I'm going to keep all 6 of the commandments. Oh, well, no, all 10. We promise. And you know, before the son could finish his little prepared speech, the dad said, quiet, hush, I don't want to hear anymore. You listen to me. You are back in the family. Yeah. We have those come to Jesus moments, and he comes to us with shocking, overflowing grace, acceptance, love. Not so that we can feel free to do, you know, all that stuff over again, but the Heavenly Father's heart is so gracious toward us. And when we know that and we experience that, the matter of obedience and pleasing our Heavenly Father, hey, that's easy, because it's not because we have to, it's because now we want to. We may try to bargain with God at times, and again, God doesn't want to have anything to do with it. And when we're overwhelmed with regret, he says, I'm going to overwhelm you with grace and forgiveness. When relationships fail and health breaks down and all these issues come and financial challenges crop up, and when we're just making a mess out of our lives, he says, here's the surprise of grace for you. In the midst of all this, that you are getting down on yourself. By the way, you know, this kid who at first was making excuses all the time, and then he was making accusing of himself all of the time, and now here comes the forgiveness. And when the devil convinces you that you have really, I mean, this time it's really too bad because you should have known better. And you did know better, and then you went ahead and you did it, you stupid. You know, he gets names for us and stuff like that. And then God comes along and overwhelms us with grace. When we're like that prodigal, we're welcomed back in again to our Heavenly Father. Because, all this because, you see, Jesus already took care of it. He paid for it. He went to the cross. He paid the price. He is nailed up there for my sins, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and then he showers grace and more grace and more grace, overwhelming grace upon us, and we're restored. Last week, Pastor Dreyer gave you a homework assignment, and on your knees to think about what's really number one in my life. That's kind of a sobering thought, isn't it? Number two is on your knees and ask God to give to you a heart that is desperate to find a lost person and for you to be able to then help bring that person back. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands who did it. So the assignment today is not something that's just for home, but for right now in these moments. I'm going to think about those 4 things that the father instructed the servant to do for the son. First is put on him the best robe. Now, there is a robe of righteousness that, you say, that's the Jesus clothing. That's the Jesus robe. Now, what robe did I bring in? Tattered and smelly, dirty. That's the flesh, the human sin nature. He says, take that off. Now put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on that robe. So when Father looks at you, he just simply sees the Son. Perfect, holy, sparkling clean. What a great thing. And then shoes on your feet. Sometimes we sing a song that says, I'm no longer a slave to sin. We're not the barefoot slave anymore. We've got the shoes that our Lord gives to us that says, you belong in this household. You are my child, my very precious and beloved one. And then he says, put on the ring. Are you willing to put on the ring? Okay. What are you going to do with that? That's your charge card. What are you going to charge on that? Charge all your sins. Can you think of doing that, actually? charging all your sins to Jesus. Now, if he paid for them, do you have to pay? No, no. The debt has been discharged at the cross. It's all done. It's not a partial bringing back into the family. It's an embrace of the Heavenly Father. And then what about the celebration, the fatted calf? Yeah, he's going to feed us. He's going to celebrate with us. More joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. It's better than finding your medical card, you know, stuffed away. You had it all along. No, this is something incredible. And we get to come to the table. See, we're invited. We have a place at the table of the Lord, just as his son did. No matter what you've been, where you've gone, no matter how your conscience has accused you or how Satan has come along, the accuser, he's called the accuser of the brethren, no matter what he's tried to do to you to mess you up, he says, I want you here. I want you here. So we celebrate that, the joyful reunion of God's kids together where our Lord is present. Here, we believe what we call the real presence of Jesus. What does that mean? It just means we simply believe the words of Jesus. He just said, this is my body, this is my blood. And we receive the gift. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus, my gift. And he feeds us, he embraces us, he takes us home.